Good morning. I want to say good afternoon and evening. I got mixed up then. Audio boo. What a difference a day makes. Yesterday was a lovely day. Today's not bad, but it's just overcast, cloudy and a bit humid. But hoping the sun might break through later. I just listened to a boo by Blackpool Babe 29 about how she came to live in the house where she's living. And I'm not meaning to copy you, Kath, but I thought it was quite a good topic to talk about my housing for the last few years. My ex-husband and I bought a house together. It was at the time when house prices, well, they were quite low. No, they weren't low, actually. They're low compared to now, but at the time they were high. And the interest rates were ridiculous. I don't know what people complain about nowadays. When they were like 13, 14, I think they even went up to 15%. Anyway, we were both working, so that was fine. And then I left work to have children, and I did go back part-time when they were both at school. But I worked at a college so that I had holidays off, so that was never a problem. And then my husband and I got divorced, my ex-husband and I got divorced in 2007. We actually stayed in the same house for 19 months. He lived upstairs, I lived down. First of all, things were very acrimonious between us because it was me that wanted the divorce. I'm not going to go into all that on here at all and my reasons. But anyway, I used to be out the kitchen by 6 o'clock when he got in from work because I wasn't working by this time. Oh yeah, I still was, but it was only part-time. And anyway, we couldn't really be under the same in the same room together for very long. And if he made me a cup of tea, I was scared to drink it because I thought he'd poisoned it. Anyway, he hadn't, of course. I don't know. Over the next few months, he found someone else, and they're married now. It was someone that he'd known before he knew me. And I think once that happened, he could accept it. You know, he tried to keep it a secret in case I filed it against him in the divorce, but I didn't. I knew about it because, I mean, you know, you do know these things, but I didn't care. I didn't want to complicate the divorce. Anyway, we get on really well now, and all is fine, and we get on much better than we did during the last years of our marriage. But anyway, that's by the by. After about 6 months, we began to be on pretty much good talking terms again, and I started cooking for him again, and we all sat round the table like we always had done because it was just easier that way. Anyway, he moved out in the November. Actually, he moved out on my birthday of 2008, and then we'd had the house on the market about a year, and we'd really had to come down in price because that's when house prices dropped. And we actually sold it. We actually moved out in June. It was actually the 18th of June, 2009. And I had been looking for a property to rent because I wasn't eligible for housing association housing. So I couldn't afford to buy a new property of my own because I wasn't working by this stage, and the settlement I got wasn't enough. Prices around here are extortionate. So I was looking for a house to rent privately, and the only one I found that would take the animals, because at the time I had two cats and two dogs. No, three dogs. A guide dog, which they can't refuse, and my retired guide dog and my pet poodle. I finally found a man that said that I could take them. Most places said no. So I only found one house that said yes, and I looked at loads and inquired about even more. And it was quite near me. It was in the next road. If I went to the end of our road, it was the one almost opposite. But it was quite a long way down the other end. But it was still convenient for the shops, and it was nearer to the station than our house had been. So we moved in there on the 18th of June. Now, we knew the property was a bit run down, and he was letting us have it slightly cheaper. He wanted a year's rent in advance, so I had to pay that. It was about £12,000. It wasn't a very big house. It was very nicely decorated. It had a very small lounge, a big kitchen. It had nice features like, I don't know, a stained glass in the front door, and it had spotlights. It's not really my cup of tea, but they had done it nicely. I don't think it was him in hindsight. I think it was the people who had it before him. Had a very big garden. We didn't have a shed, but there was just a little bit of concrete at the top where I could put my guide dog's pen, and I had a few of my guinea pigs and rabbits left at the time, so there was a big paved area to put their hutch and their run on, because I wouldn't put it on grass because we have a problem with foxes around here and they could dig underneath it. So we moved in, and we knew it was going to be a bit run down, but I had the money from my settlement, and I intended to stay there long term. And I said I would decorate it, which was a wish I hadn't done, but never mind. My sister did it for me, so I didn't have to pay. I did pay her. Actually, I paid her a lot. Probably paid her more than I would have paid someone else, to be fair. But anyway, we moved in, and the day we moved in, the toilet didn't work. So I rang him up, and he said, "Can you sort it out, because I'm not feeling very well?" And I thought, oh, here we go. So I rang up Dinah Rod. I had to get a contract with them. I think it cost me about £130. I kept the receipts, but I had to have them out numerous times because there was loads of things wrong with the toilet. It wasn't just that. Then something else went wrong with it. So I'm glad I did that. I paid a monthly subscription and kept that going. We couldn't find out how to turn the hot water on. And now the estate agents that we went through told us that he hadn't paid the extra money, the landlord, to get the people to have tenants to have a guided tour and like an induction of the house. We were basically just left to get on with it, and there was me and the two kids. I had my family round, of course, so we didn't know how to put the hot water system on or anything. We found an immersion heater. We couldn't get the heating to work. In fact, we had no proper hot water. We had to use an immersion heater, and I ended up £600 in arrears with my electricity costs because of that. And we didn't have any working central heating. I also had to buy heaters for over 18 months. And then I went to the environmental health people at the council and said, "Look, you know, I'm living here in this house. We've got no heating." I said, and every time I had a contract with British Gas to come out to service my kitchen appliances, and if any of them went wrong, they would come and fix them. And so my tumble dryer kept going wrong, the famous tumble dryer that ended up exploding and nearly killing us all. So we got, every time they came out, they said, "We have to check your fuse board." And every time they checked it, they said, "It's not safe. You need to get it sorted out." And I said, "Well," and they'd write a notice for the landlord. So in the end, I got so fed up with this and the heating not working that I took it all to the council, and they got it fixed. There were lots of other things that didn't work. The BT socket was hanging off the wall, all the wires. I had to pay for a BT engineer to come out, and because that's not free anymore, and I had to pay for all that. I had to pay an electrician to come and actually make the immersion heater work, because we didn't even have any hot water. Because there was something wrong with that. It wasn't, the thermostat was broken and it didn't turn off, which could have been highly dangerous. So he had to do a lot of repairs. I can't even remember what else. The kitchen switches kept tripping. Anyway, it was a minefield, basically. But we settled in and we got everything decorated. I went away. I took my mum away on holiday in the August so my sister could get the bedrooms done. And she did a really good job. I had lovely, very white, very like cream paper with just very faded butterflies on, different colours. And I had white butterfly curtains, or they were cream. I think they matched the walls anyway. They were from Laura Ashley. The kids had their room done out how they their rooms, because it was a three-bedroom house, done out how they wanted. And then in September, we moved in June, and bear in mind we'd paid a £12,000 up front for the year, because I thought it might give me a more settled feeling, because I felt unsettled. I'd never lived in a rented... Well, I had, but not since I'd had kids. We'd lived in rented places before we bought our house, but we'd been in the house a long time, because my kids were 14 and 9. No, they weren't. That was when we split up. They were 2009. They were 12 and 17. Or they would have been that year. They would be that year. They were 11 and 16. So one day my younger son was going through the post with me, and there was one that said to the tenant, and I nearly didn't think anything of it. I nearly chucked it in the bin, because I thought that was the same thing as to the occupier, which is usually rubbish. And then I said, oh, you better have a look at that. And he read it out to me, and it said it was an eviction notice, because it was saying the landlord hadn't paid the mortgage. Well, as you can imagine, it made me feel really ill. I was absolutely devastated, because I knew this was the only place that took my animals. And not only that, I'd paid all that money up front, and now I had to start looking for somewhere else. So I contacted the company that had sent me the letter, and they refused to discuss it with me, because I wasn't named on the mortgage or anything. I wasn't even named as a tenant. In fact, they told me that I shouldn't even be living in the house, because he hadn't bought it to rent. There's a special thing, I can't remember the name of it now, that you have to have if you're intending to rent your property out, and he hadn't got it. He bought it to live in, and he did live in it, but his wife had died, and that's why I always felt a bit sorry for him. So I tried not to have a go at him too many times, but she died 4 years before that. So anyway, around about this time, we always used to get letters for him, and I was always contacting him and saying, I've got a load of post for you here. Because lots of people obviously thought he lived there. So I got this big stack of mail, and I thought, do you know what? It was in my sideboard, and I thought, when the next time something comes for him, I'm going to open it and see if I can find out anything about him. We looked him up on the internet, and we thought I don't know, there was just something we thought was a bit dodgy about him. He had a very unusual name, so we managed to find his Facebook and stuff. That's how he did tell me his wife had died, but I found her tribute page, and that's why I couldn't be too harsh, and I suppose it was probably my downfall in the end. We started opening letters, and they were other mortgage companies. He obviously had other properties, and he was falling behind. Now, what he did with that money I gave him, I've no idea. He also had £1,000 security deposit off of me. Well, but I can assure you that the property was in a much better state when I left it than the day I moved in. It had working central heating. It was decorated properly. And it had a working toilet. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I went to the council, and obviously I'm disabled, classed as disabled. There's my kidney disease, which wasn't as bad then, but it was still relevant, and I had got my kids, so they agreed that they would put me on the list. They had to fight for it, my housing officer, because it wouldn't have been usual. But in the meantime, the mortgage went to court. I tried to be named on the thing so that they would have to let me know, and they said no, because I went to court as well, and that was another £600. I never got any of this money back. Anyway, in the meantime, the guide dogs had found me a new dog, because my dog was 10 and a half, and she was fine, but, you know, I didn't want her to go on until she wasn't, and I didn't want to be without a dog. So I had accepted him, but when all this blew up, they said I couldn't have him unless I knew that I was going to be living in the property at least 3 months so he could settle in. So I had to put all that on hold till November. But anyway, he made a payment. And the awful thing was, we had about 10 days to pack everything up. And I'd gone and spent another £100 on packing boxes because I hadn't kept any of mine. I just hadn't. I don't know why. So I had to go and get a new load of boxes. What happened was, when we moved in there, I put a load of stuff in storage in the loft because there wasn't room for it because it wasn't as big as our other house. And all the other spare boxes I chucked that were empty, that we'd emptied. So I had to go and buy a load of more boxes. All the stuff that went with that. I rented a storage place to put all my stuff in because I didn't know where I was going to be going. And then at the last minute, he pulled out, so we had to unpack. And then I was always on tenterhooks, to be honest, and they agreed to keep me on the waiting list at the council because they'd actually spoken to him and he said that somewhere down the line he might sell the property. So they had to bear that in mind. So then the following March, everything went on okay. I still felt a bit unsettled, but then I gradually forgot about it, and then life went on. And then the following March, I got a call from him to say that someone was coming round to renegotiate my next year's terms. And I said to him, well, that's fine, but you do realise there's no way I'm paying your year's rent up in advance this time. We negotiated it to do it month by month. So I just paid him every month. I had a standing order, but I could easily stop it if I had to, and I wouldn't have lost any money. And in the end, that is actually what happened, because when the estate agent came round to negotiate, supposedly, they said, no, that's not what they're there for. They're there to value the property. So, of course, the alarm bell started ringing. He's thinking of selling it. So he told me that I'd get first option to buy, but I couldn't afford it. He didn't seem to get that. So then nothing more came of it. I just kept in touch with the people at the council and I carried on paying my rent month by month once June had gone. And then we got right round to the following January 2011. And one day we got another of the dreaded letters again, but this time it did have my name on it, but we recognised the company. I can't even remember the people that deal with the debt collection or the repossession of properties, and we basically had about a week to get out. And this time I thought, well, you know, this is it, I'm not going to be messed around like this anymore. I got onto the council, they arranged for temporary accommodation for me and the kids. The man had the cheek, after all the money I'd spent on his property and on going to court because of his ineptitude or his whatever you call it, he had the cheek to ring me. Because what happened was, I got the letter on the Friday, my rent was due out on the Monday, and I thought, you know what, damn that, I said worse than that, he's not getting his rent off me this month. So I cancelled standing order. So on the Monday my rent was due and it didn't go out, and of course he was expecting it. What for, I don't know, because it wasn't to pay the mortgage. He had the cheek to ring me and ask me where it was, and I said, well, you don't honestly expect me to, whether I'm right or wrong in this, I don't know, and I don't care now, because I ended up out of pocket at the end of the day and having a terrible disruption in my life twice. So, and our lives, not just mine, the kids as well. So I said, well, I said, I've stopped it because we're getting evicted. He said, oh, don't worry, I'll sort it out, you know, it'll be all right, like the last time. He said, then he had the cheek to say to me, how do you expect me to carry on paying the mortgage when you don't pay the rent? And I thought, hold on a minute, I was absolutely furious and I exploded at that point, because I'd paid a year's rent in advance and we nearly got evicted and I nearly lost all my money. I'd have had no comeback on that, except if I'd taken him to court privately. And he didn't have the money, so I wouldn't have got it anyway. So, you know, I said, that's such an unfair thing to say. I really, you know, I wasn't rude. And then I tried to track down my security deposit, the landlords are meant to put it in a different place. They're meant to store it with a certain company so that it doesn't get mixed up with rent. When the estate agents gave me the passwords and all the things I needed for the company, and they said that they hadn't got anything under my address. So obviously he'd kept that money as well. So I didn't feel at all guilty about not paying the rent for that last month. Arseholes, basically, to coin an expression. So the council found us somewhere. We moved out on the 18th of February, funnily enough. And we'd been to see the house. My mum and I went to see it. It was a similar sort of house to that one, and it was a bit further out, but it was right, it backed onto some woods. It was lovely, really, the setting. It was a very similar sort of layout. Sometimes when I think of something happening, I almost get confused and I can't quite remember which house it was in. And then there's always something to remind me, and then I'll remember. But they were very similar layout and size. The garden was a lot smaller, but anyway, we moved in there. It was a right palaver because the people, when we were moving from our own property that we sold, we got a removal company and it was very expensive. And then we put a load of bits of furniture and stuff we didn't want. We got a friend of my mum's who does like house clearance, and he come and took it, and he said, "Well, if you ever have to move again," and I was thinking, "Well, I hope I don't have to," but I didn't realise what was ahead. Would get me to do it. But when you know what people like, they say that. So when we asked him to do it, he was absolutely useless. It took him 2 days to move my stuff. And he had a filthy old van that had rubble in it. And you know, it was really awful. And it was in the pot. He left all my stuff outside the house in the rain. Anyway, it was February and it was really miserable. And we had a gas fire in this house and it didn't work. And there was no radiator in the lounge. The rest of the, and the boiler made a terrible noise. But the rest of the house was nice. It was really nicely decorated. It was clean. But the landlord didn't allow pets. Because although it was a temporary accommodation with the council, it was actually a private house through an agency that they use. So I could take my guide dog, but my mum had to have all my cats. And I had four by this time because I'd acquired two more since I moved the last time. And my two dogs, my retired dog and my little pet dog. And that was very traumatic. He was really upset because he, as you can probably tell from here, he's very attached to me. And he was hysterical every time I left when I went to see him. But then one late, the gas fire couldn't work and I wasn't happy with it anyway. I thought it was dangerous. It was quite an old one. So one day I called the agency and they said they'd get someone to come around and look at it. And someone came around and he said, "Oh yes, they've put a radiator in here." And I said, he started talking about the guide dog, and I said, "Yes, well, my landlord doesn't allow." I said, I've got other pets. I said, but my landlord, well, not that he's a pet, but I said, I've got pets, but my landlord doesn't allow pets. He went, "I am the landlord," and it was so embarrassing. It's a good job I didn't say my horrible old landlord doesn't allow pets. Anyway, he started telling me the reason he didn't allow them, and that was because he'd had three big dogs in a house and had absolutely trashed it. The owners allowed them to trash it and wet everywhere and mess everywhere and scratch up the walls when they were left on their own, the doors. And after that, I daren't tell him. He said, "Well, how many dogs have you got then?" I daren't tell him that I had three as well because I'd already got the guide dog. So I told him I had I had one dog and a couple of cats. And I told him about my cats. So he said, "Well, as long as they don't do any damage, you can bring them." So I got in touch with the agency and I said that he'd said I'd, you know, I put it all official. I didn't want him to then turn around and say he hadn't said that. But because I'd only told him I'd got two dogs and he'd told me about some owners, tenants that had three and had messed the property up, I daren't move my retired guide dog in. And my mum had talked about keeping her anyway, so she did actually live the last year of her life with my mum, but she knew her well, and I still saw her very often because they live locally. So we were quite happy in this place, and we were there 6 months, and we didn't do anything. We didn't need to do any decorating. It was plain walls. It was neutral. We didn't bother putting pictures up. And then one day, the council housing officer rang me and she said I had to start bidding on properties. And I didn't even know how to do it. So every Wednesday, the new properties would be released. So my mum and I would look on there, on the website. She'd do it at her, because she had my login details, and I'd do it at my end. And then one day she said that she rang me, because it was at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday. She rang me, she said she found a nice property. And I looked at it and I looked at the details and I said, okay, I'll put a bid on that one. It was in Petswood, not that far from here. And then then I went and looked through the website and I found one that she'd missed. And so I put a bid on that as well, which was actually this house. So it sounded quite nice. And so I rang her, I said, you missed one. She went, oh, you don't want to do that one. Oh, that's rough down there. You don't want to unbid for it, or whatever the word is. Take your bid out, withdraw your bid. I said, no, I'm not doing that. Not before we've seen it. So my sister at the weekend took us to both houses so that we could see them from the outside. And the one that we put a bid on first, that my mum had seen, it was in a nice area, but the garden was very small at the back. It was just a small concrete square, and it was no good when you've got dogs, really. And I wouldn't have liked that. I like a bit of a garden. And so we went to look at this one, and they said, oh, it's lovely. It was really nicely done out. They said there's an extra room at the back. They could see, because the side gate was open. they could go and look at the back window. They said there's an extra room. The cats could have their room in there, and you know, it's a nice big lounge, and it's all done out really nicely. The garden's lovely. It's got trees and bushes. It's just a sort of garden. They said it's very natural and established. That's the word, established. It's just a sort of garden I wanted. It had high fences all round, 6-foot fences, and I thought, oh, I don't stand a chance with this. You know, there's people that are going to be higher on the priority list when the bids are taken out and discussed at their board meetings or whatever it is they have. So Monday the results came out, and they put it on your when you log in, you can see it on the results of your bids. And I was 7th for the first house and 6th for this one. Well, if you're not in the top 5, you can pretty much forget it, really. So I did. And then the next few weeks, there wasn't really anything. There was one house, but you had to already be an existing tenant of the council, which I wasn't. So there wasn't anything suitable. A lot of them said, if you're vulnerable, do not apply for this, because they obviously were in a bit of a dodgy area. So there was no 3-bedroom houses. So a few weeks went by, and then I got a letter, and it said that I was 3rd place for this house. And I still thought, oh, no, you know, no one in their right mind is going to turn down this house. It's lovely. It's not like, I hate to say this, but it's not like the normal housing association houses. It was actually the first, it had been bought from a private, I don't know whether someone sold it or whether it was repossessed. I don't know the history of this house at all. It had been completely refurbished. and we were the first tenants. So I thought, no one in their right mind is going to turn down this house. So 3rd, I might as well be 30th. So I forgot about it again. And then one day I got a call from Bromley Council to say that the housing people from the housing association that owned this house had been trying to contact me. And would I like to come? This was on the Monday. Would I like to come and see the view of the house? And I went, well, yeah, would I? So the next day we arranged an appointment. My mum and I came down here with Niall, my guide dog, and we walked. We couldn't believe it. We loved it even more when we were inside it. And he said, the man was in the kitchen, and he said, would you want it? And I went, oh yeah, I do. And he said, oh, I wish I'd known that you were going to take it, because I haven't got the tenancy agreement, so we had to come back the next day so that I could sign that. But that was a good excuse, because it meant that I could bring my family down, the kids. He gave me the keys that day, but I wasn't to move until the next Monday, so I basically had 6 days to move again. I was getting quite a dab hand at this moving business. But what had happened with the other people, the first woman that had come top for it, had rent arrears, so the housing association wouldn't consider her. The second person had put a bid on two places, and the other one was in a slightly different area, and it was more where she wanted. For all I know, it might have even been the same house that I'd put a bid on. So she took that one, and then that left me. So then the fun began. We had to move again. I got a proper removal people. Well, they weren't proper removal people, but they were a decent removal people this time. And we moved in on the following Monday, which was August the... I can't remember. It was August 20-something. If I think about it, I'll remember it. And, we settled in straight away. Nothing needed doing here. We could do stuff if we wanted, but nothing needed doing. We were very happy, and we lived here for a year and 5 months. And then in the early hours of the 2nd of January 2013, our tumble dryer blew up. It was 4:30 in the morning, because my son, it was a school holidays, and he was up and he'd put it on, and he wasn't in bed. And I had told him I didn't want it on, but then he said he wasn't going to bed, so I said, OK, that's all right. So I was in his room watching a film on his laptop. That was a really traumatic experience. I'm not going to go into that on here, but again, we had to move. We had to move out. We lost all our stuff and one of my cats. And my kids went to live with their dad, and I went to live with my mum, my parents, for 4 months. And I expect the housing association could have killed me, obviously it was insured, but it wasn't my fault. So, because they'd already had it all done before we moved in, and then they had to do it all again. But anyway, we're still here to tell the tale, and I hope we're going to be here for a very long time to come. You never know, one day my husband might be in the position to buy a house, which would be very nice, and I wouldn't oppose that, because obviously if we could afford to buy a house, then someone else should be living here. That's the way I look at it, but I'm not thinking about that. It's not going to be any time soon. And so for here, for the time being, this is our home, and we're very happy here, even after the fire. I think if someone dies in a fire, you probably might not want to go back to the house, although I think everyone's different, and you might think that something of that person's still there, so you might want to. My cat died here, but I wanted to come back. If my kids hadn't wanted to come back, I would have said, no, we'll get the council to find us somewhere else. But we talked about it, and we were all in agreement that we very much wanted to come back here. It's our home. And after all the moving about, we just wanted to be back and settle down, which is what we're doing now. And so that's my recent housing history. It's been a bit of a roller coaster, to say the least, but all's well that ends well, and this is the end of this. The end.